You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialized fantasy and science fiction stories written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. I plan to alternate between new original fiction and previously published works. We're starting off with Fake Geek Girl, a novelette in 10 parts which was previously published in Review of Australian Fiction, Volume 14, Issue 4, in May 2015. Fake Geek Girl, Part 1. Hebe plus Phoenix Boy equals OTP. Tuesday. My sister Holly is a fake geek girl. A card-carrying, blatant, I pretend to care about superheroes in order to get attention in public, fake geek girl. It's not like the world doesn't know this. Her friends know. My friends know. The fans of her band know, although I suspect a lot of them assume that the name of the band is ironic. Maybe I should start again. Holly Hallow is the lead singer of a band called Fake Geek Girl. You might have heard of them. At the very least, you've probably seen the vid of Witches Roll Dice, Bitches, which went viral last summer. And there are quotes from their classic song Someone Is Wrong on the Internet all over Tumblr and Mirrorweb. If you go to Belladonna University, there's no question that you've heard of the band. They play every Friday night down at Medea's Cauldron, and whether you're in the College of the Real or the College of the Unreal, you've seen my sister screaming out at you from one of the flyers posted around campus. I couldn't do that. Holly's been singing in public since we turned 4, when no one got to the happy birthday song early enough in the party for her liking, and she turned it into a 30-minute solo. I hate attention. I hate people looking at me. If I had my own way, I would slide through life 3 steps behind Holly, deep and safe in her shadow. It's comfortable there. I have snacks and a reading list. Before you ask, and everyone always asks once they figure it out, I really don't mind that everything important in my life has been turned into one of Holly's geek-tastic songs. I don't mind that whenever she hangs out with me and my friends, it's to catch up on the memes and games and trending topics and everything we care about so she can pour it into lyrics. Her drummer is one of my best friends in the world. Sage was my first boyfriend, and the reason that we broke up is Fake Geek Girl's third most popular song of all time. If I wasn't okay with all this, I would probably have moved to Bolivia by now. Or Mars. No, the part that bothers me is that it's really hard to be a dedicated wallflower when your identical twin sister is a campus celebrity. An openly bisexual, super confident campus celebrity whose public persona screams, "Approach me, buy me drinks, hey, let's flirt a little." Conversations like the one that happened today in the Desiree O'Dowd Unreal Library are pretty much a daily occurrence for me. Pretty boy with Phoenix tattoo. Hey, last straight girl in the city. Hebe sighing loudly. I'm not her. Phoenix boy. Okay. Hebe, you saw the band, right? Phoenix boy. Yeah, last Friday night at the Cauldron. You were brilliant. I really liked... Hebe. Still not her. Holly Hallow is my twin sister. I'm Hebe. Phoenix boy. You're not the fake geek girl singer. Hebe. No, I just look like her. Phoenix boy. Is this a thing you say to avoid groupies? Hebe cracks up laughing because I do still have a sense of humour about this. Bonus points for use of the word groupies to describe yourself. Phoenix boy. Hey, I call it like I see it. Hebe shows him wallpaper of my phone in which there is a pic of me and Holly together for the specific purpose of proving to people I am not lying about having an identical twin sister. There we go. Phoenix boy. Whoa, twins. Can you sing too? Hebe. Nope. Phoenix boy. Truth dawning on him. You're the sister. Like the sister from Time Agent Stole My Sister and Big Gay Breakup Song. Hebe. Wow, you really stayed for the whole set list. Phoenix boy. It's a great band. Hebe. Yes, it is. I'm very proud of her. You can go now. Phoenix boy. You're like her muse. You're the first muse I've ever met. Hebe. Literally no one has ever said that to me, ever. Phoenix Boy, is that a lie? Hebe, no, it's sarcasm. Please stop now. I related this conversation word for word to Sage and May over takeaway noodles in Sage's kitchen that night. I wasn't entirely sure they were listening. May always has at least one laptop and two mirrors open, and Sage had three theoretical sorcery textbooks spread out over the kitchen counter, trying to make sticky notes attached to the pages. Real books hate contact with the unreal. So he was onto a losing streak with the sticky notes. But Sage isn't brilliant at listening to advice until he's tried and failed every single option for himself. Which actually explains our entire high school relationship, but there you go. The point is, neither of them were properly listening. Which was good, because it allowed me to rant without consequence. Or so I thought. I think you should have given him a break, said May, still typing as she talked. You're not mirroring this conversation, are you? I asked suspiciously. Never trust a woman who is an expert in both real and unreal social media and believes that privacy is an outdated concept. Of course not. She looked up at me and I saw dialogue reflected in her glasses. May is a big name fan in about three different media fandoms and has several major fic deadlines going at any one time. When she stops multitasking, that's when you've got to worry. Sounds like he was flirting with you. No, I said patiently, he was flirting with Holly. Everyone flirts with Holly. Holly is so amazing at being flirted with. She doesn't even have to be in the same room at the time. I felt the soft buzz of magic from the other side of the room as Sage coated the sticky notes in a real aura. It flicked off, plastering itself to his shirt. Magical clothes developing independent personalities. That was totally what they needed in this flat. May's right, said Sage. He stayed to talk after he found out who you are. The trouble with you, Hebes, is you're so used to thinking of Holly as the cool one. You don't even notice when people are into you. I had to sneak up on you to become your friend, May said with a solemn nod. I stalked you online for a year before you accepted we were always going to eat lunch together until time stops and the world ends. I nudged her with my foot. You're adorable. See what you nearly missed out on? She indicated her Athena Owl t-shirt and sparkly purple sneakers. By a narrow margin. They both had a point, but that didn't mean they were right in this specific instance. I think perhaps I failed to describe how outrageously attractive this boy was. No, that came across, said May, with an impish smile. He was like magical royalty, posh foreign accent. There may have been a silk shirt and a phoenix tattoo, antique sigils on a pendant and, you know, I shifted uncomfortably. Muscles. The boys who are interested in me, once they get to know me, are not boys who look like that. Sage rolled his eyes at me. He's a fan of the band, Hebes. That means he's into your brain. I'm not in the band, I said sulkily. Half our songs are about you, dimwit. You basically are the band. It was an odd thought, and one I hadn't entertained before. But before I could question him further, he added one spell too many to the precarious sticky notes disaster, and they exploded in his hands. Magical confetti rained down on us from above, and in our attempts to protect all of the electronic devices in the flat, the conversation was forgotten. Wednesday. So you must be Holly. I can see how he made that leap. When I work in the Desiree O'Dowd, I dress in full librarian chic. All my cardigans and retro A-line skirts. I even put my hair up in a bun because, come on, how could I not? Working in a library, living the dream. On the other hand, when I work at the Student Advice Centre, I dress in whatever I picked off my floor that morning, and they're lucky if I remember to turn the T-shirt the right way out. Add to this, I had a pink wash in my light brown hair. I lost a bet with my sister, who wanted me to try it out to see if she could risk the look for Friday night. And sure, I could buy that he thought I was the other twin this time around. But that didn't stop me saying, "Still Hebe," in a put-upon sigh, because the only fun thing about being a twin is making people feel guilty about getting it wrong. It was him again, the pretty boy with the phoenix tattoo that wrapped around the side of his neck and occasionally blew realistic-looking flames across his medium brown skin. To his credit, he looked crestfallen at his mistake. I'm guessing he wasn't used to anyone telling him he was wrong. Shit, I'm sorry, I... Really? You work here too? Part-time jobs are precarious things, I told him gravely. So many students fighting over minimum wage shifts. It's a jungle out there. I juggle multiple jobs to cover rent and food and books. I had been right about him being real royalty. Instead of the I know your pain grimace of a fellow working student, he had a baffled, wait, there are students whose parents don't cover all their living costs? Twitch across three quarters of his beautiful face. I was pretty sure his jacket cost more than my monthly rent. Right, he said, taking a deep breath. Can we start again? Anytime you're ready, I said sweetly. Okay, I'll admit that I sometimes enjoy the phenomenon that I refer to as the Holly fluster. Yes, it's annoying to be constantly hit on by people who think my sister is super cool. But once they've opened a conversation with that, I feel no remorse at all about being sarcastic with them. Normally I'd be nervous and fumbling around a pretty, privileged real boy. Not that one would bother to talk to me without the Holly factor. But right now, I was having fun. Then I felt bad almost straight away. Because Phoenix Boy was looking shifty and uncomfortable and, oh, crap, he had a genuine problem he'd come here to fix. And here was me teasing him because he couldn't tell the difference between twin sisters. Starting again, I said, more gently than before. What do you need? I need to know the process for switching my degree from real to unreal, he blurted out. I lost all ability to be neutrally helpful and just stared at him. Seriously? Do I not look serious? I'm asking for a friend, he added, with a practiced tilt of his head that didn't fool me at all. Okay, I said slowly. Well, the process is pretty simple. I can print you out the form here, or you can download it off the website. You need to see a course advisor and get signatures of the dean from each college. I mean, your friend. I can make an appointment for them with Sarah. She's the course advisor on duty over the summer. Or they can email her directly. I handed him Sarah's business card because I wasn't sure he was going to give up the it's for a friend story anytime soon. Phoenix Boy looked at the card and not at me. When he finally turned his dark brown eyes up to fix on my face, my stomach almost entirely melted out of my body. Yes, he was that pretty. Shut up. But, he invited, but nothing. Straightforward. Forms, appointments, signatures. But, he said more forcefully than before, it's not common, that's all, but I've only been working here a year. I'd never heard of a single transfer between real and unreal. A couple, yes, going the other way, because studying magic and its related disciplines was always a safe job-friendly choice, and the romance of specialising in magic-free arts or politics or literature often wore off once the career fair destroyed everyone's hopes and dreams. But who would give up studying magic once it had its hooks into you? And why would a boy who looked like an illustrated chapter in the history of pampered legacy kids make that choice? Maybe it really was advice for a friend. We also have counsellors, I found myself blurting out. General feelings counsellors, if that's something you think would be useful. Phoenix Boy smiled at that point. Though it wasn't a happy or relieved smile, it was a you can't make my day worse than it was before I saw you kind of smile. I'm good. I'll take a printed copy of that transfer form. And do you know where I can go to look for accommodation options? I waved at the general direction of the bulletin board. It's probably too late to register for a room in one of the residential halls, but there's a bunch of flatmate and sharehouse requests over there. I was going to make up for my previous utter lack of professionalism by leaving it at that. and I totally wasn't going to draw attention to one flatshare flyer in particular. But Phoenix Boy found it anyway. Unsurprising. Since Sage and Deck had been up half the night decorating the flyers with fierce fluoro pens and had insisted I use pins shaped like tiny battle axes to attach it to the board. "Join the Manic Pixie Dream House," Phoenix Boy read aloud, with a bemused tone in his voice. "Must be able to endure one flatmate's long drumming sessions and the other flatmate's constant smell of wet art materials, mostly clay. Brace yourself for meals made mostly of dead animal and weekend gaming marathons in which the flat fills up with angry nerd boys and rattling dice." "They're friends of mine," I admitted. "Do they have mixed feelings about letting someone else share the flat with them?" I laughed, the weird tension of the help desk finally leaving the conversation. "They're not quite hauling up a drawbridge, but they don't want another disaster. And that's pretty much a list of reasons why their last flatmate flipped out and stuck them with his share of the rent with no notice." "Ouch," said Phoenix Boy, still staring at the flyer. "Are they students of the real or of the unreal?" "One of each." That surprised him. He spun around and stared at me as if the idea of a mixed household was completely off the chart crazy. "Seriously?" "It's not that unusual," I said, blinking. "Just how sheltered was this boy? Had he never had a friend from the College of the Unreal before?" I wasn't sure whether to throw him at Sage and Deck for his own sake or warn him off their chaos. "Huh," was all he said. And when he walked away with the transfer forms, he took a tab from the Manic Pixie Dreamhouse flyer with him.